So when the media looks at conflicts and revolutions underway in the Middle East, North American audiences are most often wearing horse blinders, so to speak. Seldom do we analyze the situation from a truthfully global perspective. More often than not, the global perspective includes ourselves and the other foreign party, omitting the multitude of other foreign powers, one of which is South America, and more specifically, the Latin American perspective, one that is rarely given a voice today. But today, we have longtime CKUT friend, Rufo Valencia.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing very good, and yourself?
Fine, thank you.
So we have you in here today to try to give us a little bit more perspective on the situation that's going on in the Middle East and the connection between the Middle East and Latin America, especially more that Venezuela, Cuba, Nicaragua, Ecuador, and Bolivia have warned before the Libyan conflict even started that this would be a dangerous thing if there was foreign military intervention. Why do Latin American countries oppose to the intervention in Libya?
Well, there hasn't been a collective reaction to the situation in Libya. What has happened, you find more, is different kind of reactions, from total rejection of the NATO operations in Libya from Nicaragua, to even the breaking off relationships with Libya that came from Peru. So you have an array of different reactions to what has happened in Libya. That is due to two main reasons. One of the reasons is that Muammar Gaddafi comes from a generation of political leaders that fought against colonialism. It is the first or second generation of politicians in that part of the world. And remember that many countries in Africa came became independent in the 1960s, and some of them were also influenced by the struggles in Latin America. Remember that Che Guevara was in Congo trying to support some form of political change through military, armed struggle, to try to establish a different kind of governments in the region, although it was a failure. He was in Algeria. And also Muammar Gaddafi, he is the author of the Green Book, and for a certain period of time, he was the embodiment of a political leader in Africa that would reflect to a certain degree the ideals of a social change that were in vogue at the time. But what makes Latin American reaction also complex is the fact that many countries in Latin America, especially during the 70s, went through long periods of military dictatorship. So they also have a natural reaction of rejections towards the use of force, especially military force from the state. So that is why Costa Rica, for example, has criticized that. Brazil has come out, well, if we just go country by country, Argentina, for example, they were not openly critical, but it was their desire to have this conflict be resolved in without violence, without the use of the army. The same with Peru, the same with Costa Rica, Bolivia, which is, if you look at the countries of the ALBA, the alternative that came up against the ALCA, which was the Free Trade of the Americas, and their goal is to reach a different kind of economics and different kind of politics. It was that they don't support the use of violence, and what they propose is that the conflict in Libya should be solved by means of peaceful means and democratic means. Mm-hmm. And the fact is, many countries in the region, in Middle East, Syria, Libya, Morocco, Tunisia, Algeria, especially Egypt, the tragedy of these countries in comparison to Latin America is that despite the fact that great leaders like Gamal Abdel Nasser, or the first generations of leaders that came out of the struggle for independence, although they, in the discourse, at the discourse level, they embodied a new order of democratic order, more just order. But in real terms, what has happened in many countries, look at Syria, is they have curtailed any development of civil society. So therefore, this society didn't have the means to develop balance towards the total exercise of power. Bashar al-Assad has at this moment is doing in Syria something that Latin Americans have struggled for years to defeat, which is the brutal use of military force to suppress social demands. Mm-hmm. And what happens in the answer to that situation in Latin America is what the Vice President of Bolivia, Garcia Linera, has put forward as a new idea of the state, which will be an equilibrium between the forces of civil society and the functioning, the heavy functioning, the bureaucratic functioning of the state. So that way, the ideal of a state will be one in which you have the state accomplishing the mandate of administering a country, but at the same time under the strict control of civil society, taking a look at step by step of what the power is doing as on behalf of the citizens. And that doesn't happen in many countries in the Middle East, where you have especially corrupt regimes, as you had in the case of Egypt with mm-hmm. Mubarak in power for more than 30 years. The same happens with in Sudan, where you have a government that has been in power for more than 30 years. So it's not a question of time. It is the key element is to what extent the institutions of civil society and to what extent citizenship can participate in the ways as a government defines and takes what kind of decisions they make.
Yeah, you almost paraphrase the words of the Venezuela's permanent representative, George Valero, who said, "The Libyan people must fight their own destiny without foreign interference." It's almost like they want them to fight their own revolution and to grow naturally.
Exactly. And that is why many countries justify suspicion the intervention of the NATO forces. How come that the NATO is not bombing Syria at this very moment? If NATO is acting on the defense of human rights, what is NATO doing about women's rights in Saudi Arabia? Just to put an example, or what the NATO is doing in terms of the UN resolutions that demands that Israel has to go back to the borders of 1967. So it is eloquent to see that NATO is in a way there defending to a certain extent the interests of a certain geopolitical powers in the region. And also we should not close our eyes to the fact that Libya also has oil, and what we have seen in the case of Iraq, if their main export would be broccoli, the invasion would never have taken place. And so that is an element to take into account. And Latin American countries are right in their mistrust of NATO operations and the mistrust of so-called international community, because at the end of the day, only few countries have the control of the Security Council, and the UN is not a democratic institution in terms of decision-making in the region. And that's why the BRIC, the countries that are called Brazil, Russia, India, and are demanding a reform of the international global institutions, because only when you have a really democratic decision-making power in the use of force around the world, then you will have a different order, if you want.
Well, it seems like it's almost a difficult position for Canada, especially now Canada has more of a military role. Just recently in Libya, the French reported that they destroyed over 60 military establishments throughout the country by air bombings. But the air commander is actually Canadian Lieutenant General Charles Bouchal. Canada has a position now as a military force within the situation. How does this affect the view of Canada from Latin America?
Well, Canada has lost a lot of its weight, a lot of its prestige in terms of foreign relationships. In the past, Canada was seen as a country that was very balanced in their approach to international issues. Just look at reasons why Canada lost a seat on the Security Council in the last round of elections. And it was basically because we have a government has decided to renounce or to dilapidate the capital, the international capital that, of credibility that Canada had in the past. So what we have now is a government that is basically betraying, if you want, the traditions that earned our country the Nobel Prize for the idea of the blue helmets, of the idea of using force to make peace. So in Latin America, Canada has lost a lot, not only because their positions in international affairs concerning, for example, I go back again, the case of Israel, but also the lukewarm relationship that they keep with countries like Venezuela, like Ecuador, like Bolivia. And the emphasis in Latin America has been an emphasis in the area of commerce. It is like the main goal for the country is just to make to sign free trade agreements without concern of the human consequences of those free trade agreements. Just look at the record of Canadian companies, Canadian mining companies in Peru, and just last a few weeks ago there was a great turmoil in the region of Puno, in the border between Peru and Bolivia, where a Beer Creek company, Canadian mining company, has been trying to set up shop, but and communities know the effects of Canadian mining companies in the region have dire consequences in terms of water contamination, in terms of agricultural output, and they put really in real peril the survival of Quechua indigenous communities in the region. So Canada has opted to become the carpet seller in the Americas rather than the partner in terms of human rights, in terms of democratic development institutions. And that is a loss for all of us because, in fact, Latin America starts, if we live in Montreal, Latin America starts in Cotonou. Latin America in Toronto starts in north of Bloor Street. Latin America starts in Calgary and in Vancouver. So we are here. This is Latin American too. And decisions that are taken by Canadian companies affecting countries in Latin America also affect Canadians of Latin American origins living here.
It seems that Canada's relationship with the Middle East is more of an imposing force, especially if the war in Afghanistan. We're going in as a military force. But the relationship between the Middle East and Latin America, it seems more of a, I think the term is South-South relationships, where both developing areas are helping each other and cooperating with trade and technical aspects. Brazil said that with its trade with the Middle East, it went from $8 billion to $20 billion just in recent years. This is from Brazil's foreign minister, Celso Amorim. So he said that it was $8 billion to $20 billion. So there's definitely an interest in the area, and it seems more of a partnership compared to where Canada in the Middle East is more of an aggressive or opposing force. So how is the relationship then with the Middle East and Latin America? Is it more of that style, like a friendship as it described?
For a long time, one of the tenets of new political ideas in the region was to try to develop a more South-South relationship, and in terms that it would be a relationship that doesn't have the heavy burden of colonialism. No Latin American country has colonized any country in Africa, nor any African country has colonized Latin America. On the contrary, Africans have been subjects of a very, very heavy history when they were traded, extracted and then traded in Latin America. And much of our culture in Latin America is permeated. It has been nursed by African traditions. Just go to music, to poetry, to the expressions of national identity. And what Brazil has been doing has been championing the idea of developing a more relationship of equals. And you should take into account that Africa and Latin America are regions where, for example, they have the one of the most important reservoirs of water, minerals, natural resources for the bio industries. Biotechnology has great potential in the region. That's to take into consideration, for example, that given that the UN Organization of Food and Alimentation, they have established that within 10 years, prices of food are going to increase between 20% to 30%. So many enterprises, companies in the north have been buying big chunks of land in Africa. So what Evo Morales, when President of Bolivia, when he went to Africa, he proposed the idea that the resources of the country have to benefit first the inhabitants of the country rather than transnational corporations. And so there is this approach towards South-South relationship in which you could have the development of new national identities, a new idea of the state in which the state is no longer a carpet seller, is no longer a seller of metals, is no longer a provider of raw resources to be developed in the north, but rather to try to first feed their own people, feed their own country, go towards a kind of independence in terms of foods and supplies, and then export the rest. But first of all, you have to feed the people in the house, and then you can think of exporting. And those ideas will gain more ground in the future, because the consequences of not doing that will lead to situations in which you can speak of failed states, in which the state can no longer accomplish the contract, that basic contract that exists between, as Rousseau put it when he spoke of the social contract between the individual and the state. I give my adherence, my loyalty, my sense of allegiance to a state, but the state also has to provide the basic, has to satisfy my basic needs. And that social contract has been broken up with the inroads and with the heavy consequences of implementing not only I wouldn't say just neoliberalism, but also the heavy inheritance of colonialism in the region.
Well, we touched upon it just a little bit earlier, but the view of Latin American countries, especially with the recognition of the Palestinian state, it seems that the Latin American countries are trying to have an increased presence when it comes to Middle Eastern issues, especially in the UN. I think that one of the only large Latin American countries, Colombia, is the only one who is not recognizing Palestine as an independent state. And we know because Colombia, Israel, and the United States have a lot of connections with arms and trades. But
not only that, because Israel has been sending also military military personnel to train forces in Guatemala, in Colombia. And that's one of the reasons why many countries in Latin America... Well, we have this memory that Israel has supported dictatorships in the region by training their forces against the people.
But what does this mean on the global scale? When you have all these Latin American countries that seem one after another to be recognizing that there is a Palestinian state, what does this mean on the global perspective? How much does this weigh all their powers?
I think what they recognize is the right of Palestinians to have their own state. And without being from the left or the right, I think the UN has put out a very clear resolution demanding that Israel should respect the borders of 1967. Latin American countries, the difference with Canada is that Canada has separated from Great Britain in 1982, when Pierre Trudeau brought the charter and brought the constitutions back to the country, because before that, whenever Canadians wanted to change the laws, they had to go to the chamber of the Lords House in England. The difference with Latin America is that we expel the Spanish crown with bullets and guns, and it was a struggle in Bolivia. It was 15 long years of struggle against the Spanish king troops to gain our independence, and the same with many countries. So there is a historical memory of struggle for self-determination, and I think that also provides the ground for Latin Americans to recognize that Israel has right to exist, has right to their own security, but with respecting the right of the Palestinians to have their own security, their own territory, their own laws, and their own self-determination. And I think that is why many countries in Latin America have supported the right of Palestinians to declare their own statehood with in the framework of the United Nations. This is the beginning of a new time, and Latin Americans see with great sympathy that struggle, because in a way it resembles our struggle during the 60s, the 70s, and 80s to regain our basic rights, the political rights, the rights of expression, of free expression, and we are entering a new period in which we will see, perhaps based on this experience, a stronger connection south-south, and let's hope that the powers who at this moment are bombing Libya are not indifferent to the struggle of people in Syria, who people are suffering enormously under the overwhelming power of the Syrian army.
Well, thank you so much for coming in to speak with us.
A pleasure to be here.
You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM, and this is the Wednesday Morning After.